Hallelujah. God is good all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 1, what does it say? Pursue love and desire what? Hello. Desire what? Spiritual gifts. Gifts are the tools of the Spirit. They are God's gifts. They are the Spirit's gifts, not your gifts. They're His. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, those gifts are in you. Amen? Now you learn to yield to the Spirit so the gifts can flow through you. Not that they're your gifts. It's just like somebody sending you to the store with money to go purchase something. Right? But it's not your money. It's their money. It's the same thing with the Spirit. They're His gifts, not yours. So pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Let me tell you, when you stop desiring spiritual gifts, you are backsliding. Because you're to be going forward, not backwards. The moment you stop going forward, you are going backwards. Does everybody understand that? That's why every day you should ask for the Lord's counsel, correction, and direction. You're always looking for more. So, does everybody understand that? Always looking for more. Listen, I've been walking with the Lord 17 years. And I haven't got enough yet. And I know that what He has for me is I could live 10,000 lives on this planet and it's still not enough for what He has for me. But what He has for me is sufficient to get me through so I can get home. Praise God. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And that's declaration, decree, those things that are of the Spirit. So you're calling those things that are not as though they are. You're speaking things of the spirit realm and calling them into the natural realm. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? To God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, go to verse 14. Would you read it with me? For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Everyone says, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, you're no longer praying. Your new man, your spirit, the new created spirit now is praying, not you. And it's amazing on how many times when that gift is, when people get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they're praying in tongues and then they backslide from the gift. Why? Because that gift is to stir you up. It's to edify you. It also releases the mysteries of God into your spirit that will come forth later. Does everybody understand that? And this is the separation between Christianity and everything else. Because God is alive in us. That's the difference. Christ in you is the mystery. Is everybody? That's why he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But we are not to neglect that gift. When you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that new created spirit in you wants to speak to his Father. Do not stop him. Get your butt out of his way. Get your carnal thinking and fleshly foolishness out of his way and let him speak to his Father. Are you listening? This is what causes the inner man. Go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Verse 14. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Glory to God. That he would grant you what? According to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's his spirit in you. In the inner man. So the Holy Spirit, are you listening, is praying through your spirit. Has everybody got it? He's calling those things that are not. He's speaking those things. He's speaking directly. Your new spirit man, your new created spirit, the one that's been awakened now, is speaking to his Father. So everybody got it. Now, religion doesn't understand this. Carnality doesn't understand this. Because there's a difference between the outward culture and the inward culture. There is no other form of relationship. There's no other, what they call religion out there, to where the inner man prays to the Creator. None. None. Only Christianity. That means Christ-like. And it isn't a religion. It is a life. It's an eternal thing, not a temporary one. Verse 17. That Christ may what? Dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that what? Works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. In other words, he's saying, man, I pray that there be great strength with the and might by his spirit in your inner man. Has everybody got it? That your new awakened spirit man would speak to his Father and be guided and strengthened. And it's our responsibility to constantly feed your spirit, man. It's what allows you to walk in the Spirit. In other words, when you are baptized, so in this it says that Christ may dwell in you. In other words, the anointing may dwell in you. Has everybody got it? The anointing dwelling in you by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That you may be rooted and grounded in his love and be able to comprehend what is the dwelling in you. You know, so many times people are still looking outwardly. They're losing sight of who's in them. Who's in them? That we may be rooted and grounded in his love and be able to comprehend who is dwelling in you and to reach the point of his fullness, to know the power of Christ that dwells in us. So that we may know the fullness and the power that's in us and not be deceived, moved about by false doctrines and goofiness of the world. So when you've been granted that new awakened spirit and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've been given the gift for your spirit, your new spirit, man, to pray to your Father, do not get in his way. But encourage it. Encourage it. Has everybody got it? Because you know what will happen? You will turn back. And you'll turn back to your religious ways. You'll turn back to tradition. You'll be easily deceived by men. Has everybody got it? It's very simple. You'll be more easily distracted. You will not be able to maintain focus. You'll be focusing on everything of the flesh more than everything of the spirit. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Let's read it together. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for who? Themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the anointing, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. As though God were pleading through us, which he is, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Is everybody with me? So, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. This is called the point of no return. Now you got the answer of the teaching. I kept hearing, what's the name of the teaching? The name of the teaching is the point of no return. Every level of your life is a place you reach that there should be a point of no return. It is required that all believers reach the point of no return to the old, or you will not be found worthy of promotion. Everybody must come to the reality that there's got to be a place of no return. You cannot return. And all things in your life, there must be a place where you are saying, I will never return. Romans chapter 6, the point of no return. Romans 6:4. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism in death. Yes. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, say that word, should walk in the newness of life. In other words, you have a choice. You have a choice to walk in all newness. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Know this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, he who has come to the point of no return. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? That means come to the point of no return to the old. That's called death. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. And grace is the plan of God for you to expose the enemy's deception and to make a way of escaped of the wrath of God. That's what grace is. So in this walking in the newness of life to reach the point of no return, we must maintain a place of death and stay dead. The point of no return is not to allow sin to reign, or what we call sin is the presence of evil, to reign in our lives. That's why if people are led by the flesh, they are led by sin. But those who are led by the Spirit, their flesh should be crucified. Because their inner man is being strengthened. You know, there is that place where we must cooperate with God in every area. People are calling out to God for help when He has provided the help, but they don't do what God has asked them to do. See, that place where you maintain Him as your first love. That place that He is your first love in everything, no matter what. He's number one. He's first, He's first, He's first, He's first, He's first, He's first. No, He's first. No, He's first. That must become a reality to you to maintain the area of the point of no return. I'm not first. He's first. My need isn't first. He's first. My desire is not first. He's first. Does everybody got it? Nobody's first but Him. Not my wife, not my children, and not you. Him. And that must be in your life. No matter what. Because if He's not first, listen, you can't build nothing without Him. The moment you start building something, you've returned. The moment you want things your way, you've returned. That's where you must step back and say, Lord, it's yours. What do you want me to do? That's why every day you must consistently ask, Lord, grant me your counsel, correction, and direction. Why? Because you're always wanting to maintain Him as your first love. To maintain Him as your first love, and the reality of that desire to maintain Him as your first love is the only place you're going to be able to reach the point of no return. Hebrews 3. See, you may be, there are certain things that you know you're not going to return to. At least you hope. So you get free from drugs and alcohol. Big deal. That's minute. That's peanut stuff. That's peanut stuff. It's the other stuff that you don't, the area of lust, which you must come to a place of the point of no return. The area of selfishness, the area of pride. All of these areas, we must come to the level of the point of no return. No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not going to go there. I've been there, it's touched it, and it's hurt me every time. Why should I go touch something that hurts me? You got to be an idiot. Hello? What did I say to go? Oh, Hebrews 3. And of course, an idiot is spiritually blinded, so don't be offended. But if you're spiritually blinded, get some sight. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. In other words, you lost your first love. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin or the presence of evil. For we have become partakers of Christ. That word if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Wow. Departing from the character of Christ is what he's talking about. Well, I'll never leave the Lord, but did you leave His character? Well, I'll always follow the Lord, but did you leave His character? Departing from the character of Christ, become partakers of the world. The only way you become a partaker of Christ is by not leaving in any way whatsoever. That's where that point of no return must be established. So we become partakers of Christ by reaching the point of no return. Is everybody with me? That's amazing. And how the enemy lures individuals. You know, there's that place where you'd see somebody for a while and all of a sudden they disappear. Then you run up to them. Hey, man, what's going on? Or they come up to you. Hey, how you doing? Great, man. Well, praise God. What's going on? Well, my job is great. You know they've already lost it. Because the only thing they can talk about is their job. You know they're out of course, out of line, out of order. Because there isn't anything said about the Lord. Oh, the Lord blessed me with a job. Well, whippy. What are you doing for God? Actually, what is God doing through you? Yeah, man, I got a great job. Hallelujah. That's nice. Okay. Cast out any devils lately? Laid hands on the sick. Did you witness anyone? Did you preach the gospel on the streets? Did you do something for the Lord or allow the Lord to do something through you? What are you doing for the kingdom? But you know when somebody has strayed and they've lost the point of no return, when that's all they can talk about is their job. That's their first love. The more whatever somebody talks about more is their first love. Has everybody got it? Whatever you're talking about more of is what your first love is. If people talk more about their children, that's their first love. But when they talk more about what the Lord and who He is, see, you'll know right out of their mouth who the first love is. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Not, oh, God is blessing me with a job. No. I'm blessed and highly favored. And He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. See, because if you lose everything, He still maintains your first love. That's why people commit suicide. Because He's not His first love. They are. And because things aren't going their way, they want to kill themselves. Kill themselves. That's fleshly. Hello? People want to kill themselves. But see, in Christ, you're already dead. You don't have to commit suicide. Hello? We are already dead in Christ. And old things have passed away and all things have become new because we've reached the point of no return. Is everybody okay? Glory. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. The point of no return. Yes. In verse 8. And I like 7. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may what? That I may what? Know Him. Know Him. That's first love. See, that should be your number one most important thing of life. Is to know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Being conformed to His death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended it. In other words, He's not perfected it yet. He's still learning. He's still going through it. In other words, but He's still going through the process of the point of no return. He's reached the point of no return in many parts of His life, but He's still going through it. But one thing I do. What's that? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. In other words, loss of all things. He has counted it all rubbish, everything of the old. But he's reached the point of no return by maintaining the point of no return, by forgetting those things of the past and pressing on to the new. So everybody got it? Pressing on to the what? To the new. To the new. Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. In verse 18. Let's read it together. This is important. For if I what? If I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a what? Whoa! If I build on those things I've destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, you've come to the point of no return, and you've left it and gone back to it. So you went back to smoking. Well, you're a transgressor. So you went back to pornography. Well, you're a transgressor. So you went back to drinking. Well, you're a transgressor. Has everybody got it? So you went back. What about the old way of thinking? Amen. He said, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Build again those things which I destroyed in Christ, reached the point of no return, and then went back. See, we've got to come to the place where we've accepted the price of the cross and that Christ lives in us, called the anointing. Say the anointing. The anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. So that lives in you. But you can shut them off anytime you want, you know. The anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. So one of the things we want to be able to do is not only accept the price of the cross, but accept that when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the power, the presence, and eternal truth is manifested in us and wants to manifest through us. And the truth now we have allowed to become a what? Reality. It's now become a reality to you. It is no longer a fiction. It is no longer an assumption. It is no longer a hope. It is. Now we have allowed the anointing that is within us to become a reality. Christ that dwells within us to become a reality and become a servant to the anointing and not self. Remember, the anointing doesn't serve you. You serve the anointing. This is where we reach the point of no return. There's no return, no matter what. So to maintain that place, you must maintain your first love. Your wife is not your first love. Your husband is not your first love. Your children are not your first love. That's all soulish stuff. It's all foo-foo. He is your first love. The will of God is you and God, you and God, and you and God. Not you and your God, you and your family, and you and your ministry, and you and your job. That's all carnality. That's all foolish, soulish stuff that has been preached for years. and has put people right out of position. The will of God is you and God, you and God, and you and God. Everything else is a blessing. So stay out of God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The point of no return. I love that. Have you reached the point of no return yet? Well, you better, or you'll return. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. In other words, we go back. So we must take heed. We must let it be a part or become a reality within us. For if the word spoken through angels is proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by us, by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Hallelujah. You know, and that's what we talked about in the beginning. And the first scripture we talked about was, you know, about when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, that your spirit man prays. Your new awakened, created spirit prays to his Father. Prays. Desiring fellowship. Your inner man. That new inner man that wants to speak to his Father and hear from his Father all the time. Maintaining that first love all the time. And in that, what the Bible says, to stir yourself up by praying in the Spirit. You're to stir yourself. That's your responsibility. That's how we cooperate with God. Stirring yourself up. In other words, while you're stirring yourself up, your flesh is getting crucified. Drifting away by forgetting who we are in Christ. And Christ in us. People begin to let go of the experiences they had with God. People begin to let go of the presence of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts. People begin to let go of the truth. They begin to forget that when God answered their prayer, this is a ploy of the enemy, because his purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. But it's your responsibility to stay stirred up and go forward and not back. It's our responsibility to come to the point of no return. No return. Going forward and not returning. Going forward and not returning. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Oh, yes. It's good to hear the pages flying on a Sunday morning. Ha, ha, ha. Matthew 26 and 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. So only took three with him. The rest sat over there. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Now Jesus is opening up to them. "Even to death. Stay here and watch with me." In other words, watch my back. Keep an eye with me. Pray with me. Don't lose sight. Watch me. Then he went a little farther and fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as what?" Jesus was fighting to maintain the point of no return. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and saying to Peter, "You idiot." No. "What? What are you doing, man? You couldn't stay and watch with me for an hour? You couldn't fight for 1 hour. You couldn't watch for 1 hour. You couldn't cover me for 1 hour. You couldn't pray for me for 1 hour. Then he says to him, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink of it, your will be done. He came to the point of no return. And he came and found his disciples again sleeping, and their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Man, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. In other words, you can't rely on anybody else. Nobody else can come to the end for you. You must come to the point of no return yourself. Jesus had to do it, and so do we. We must come to the point of no more returning. And many people who do not watch and pray don't come to the end. They lose the point of no return. Jesus gave us the ultimate example of the point of no return right here. And go to Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Would you read it with me? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. Rooted in what? Built up in him. How are you getting built up in him? Praying the Holy Ghost. You're getting built up. Praying in the Spirit. You're getting built up. Again, it's amazing how people started praying in the Spirit and the devil stole it. When your new child, that new created spirit, wants to pray to his Father so badly, and you're stopping him, you're refusing him to pray. And that's all he's trying to do, is help you come to the end of no return. Hallelujah. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men or religion, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Complete in him by coming to the point of no return. Be careful not to be deceived with the ways of the world and lose the point of no return attitude. Has everybody got it? The point of no return what? Attitude. In other words, we want to establish that attitude that I am not going back. I am not going back to the old man, because he who is in me is greater than he is in the world. That I have been anointed and appointed. That I am more than a conqueror. Stop making excuses. It's very important. Stop making excuses in the area of wanting to go back. Because that's just the enemy playing with you. That's the enemy playing with you. You know, you got to remember something, that the devil fears you more than you fear him. That's why, you know, especially when we're doing deliverance and so forth, or if you get up to somebody and you talk to them, you talk to them straight face to face, eye to eye, that person will turn his head if there's demons in him. Amen. They can't look at you because the light in you torments them. Amen. That was, yeah, well, you know, I... Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You'd like to say, oh, come out in Jesus' name. Let's have a conversation. Go to Hebrews 10. The point of no return. In verse 19, Hebrews 10 and verse 19, would you read it with me? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for who? For us. Through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Not forsaking the what? Assembly. Assembling. In other words, coming in unity, coming together. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. Now, this is important. Now, I want to go a little bit further so that you can understand that willful sin. In other words, we want to come to a point of no return. We are not returning. In verse 26, now he warns you. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, you're severed. You're not his anymore. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Again, that blows that theology of once saved, always saved. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. So one of the most important things, of course, in maintaining your first love and not turning from the point of return is to maintain assembly. In other words, by maintaining assembling, coming in fellowship, coming in a corporate worship, coming and maintaining the assembling and fellowship. Are you understanding? There is not only fellowship, but there is accountability. And this is your responsibility to maintain fellowship so that you are accountable. You become responsible. Amen? Maintaining fellowship again. And you cannot make excuses. There's no excuse. Well, I got to do this. Well, you know, and I know that there's certain things people have to do at some time. But it's amazing and how many individuals fall from maintaining the assembling of the saints in fellowship. Look at what you're getting today. You're being taught by the anointing, not by a man. Because this man couldn't teach you nothing. Can't even play tennis right. But praise God, I'm learning. Hallelujah. But it's the anointing that teaches us all things, tells us things to come, and guides us to all truth. The anointing. And I'm telling you that the anointing is requiring each and every us, every one of us, to come to the point of no return so he can trust you. And one of the things that he requires is that you maintain assembling. You maintain fellowship. You maintain accountability. And you maintain responsibility. Or you will lose your first love. And the only thing you got to talk about when you see brothers and sisters is your job. Hello. Because it's the only thing happening in your life.
Yeah, my job.
Or children.
Oh, we're having another child.
And of course, when you're talking to them, they're...
Yeah, well, you know, we're having another child and they got a new job. Yeah, right.
Because they've opened themselves up to demonic activity already. Why? Because it's called rebellion, and rebellion is witchcraft. Maintain assembling and fellowship. Maintain it so that you are accountable and responsible. And so that you can maintain the point of no return. You cannot do it on your own. Nobody can. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the blood of Christ, the price of Christ, and for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. And I pray, Lord, that the seed that's been imparted today will be protected by the blood that speaks. And that seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Bring revelation and confirmation to each and every one that they may mature, walk forth, and grow. Coming to the point of no return, but going forward in you to be a sign and wonder for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.